Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I got to figure it out. When Trubisky was brought in, the coaching staff referred to him as Mitchell. Last year, he was Mitch. Could be really simple, but it could be the thing that gets us over the hump and gets us that other Lombardi trophy. So Mitchell Trubisky, I will never call you by your nickname again. Because you're going to be taken seriously. You were given that name, Mitchell.
Trying to figure out what the network analysts are thinking watching Kyle Long try to analyze Mitchell Trubisky in his car regarding his name. Not what I expected from 75. I think, Mark, I don't know. I just think Howie Long would not accept that kind of analysis. He would want to go to level two and level three when it comes to breaking down the Bears quarterback position. Zach Saban, Mark Grody with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And joining us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park is the guy that you just heard breaking that down. Former Chicago Bear offensive lineman Kyle Long. How are you, my friend?
What is going on, Zach? It's so great to hear your voice, my old friend, and Mark, my new friend from recent years. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much for coming on with us and being game with us here today. And since we heard the soundbite coming in, keep analyzing, man. Keep analyzing Mitchell Trubisky for us, because we got ourselves a good old-fashioned quarterback competition this year between Trubisky and Foles. How do you think that's going to go down now, especially since the offseason has been a little bit compromised, Kyle?
Well, clearly there's a lot to talk about here, and it's a point of discussion that Chicagoans will never drop, the quarterback situation, regardless of century, decade, or roster. But now we've got a guy named Mitchell Trubisky. I changed his name back last week. It's official. And Nick Foles coming in. They're going to compete. What I read this morning was that Nick Foles was coming in to win the starting job. That's what he said. He said, I'm willing to help Mitch Trubisky. But, you know, as an athlete, if I'm coming in as a right guard and I'm going to compete, I'm going to say the same thing. And I know that's not a sentiment that's echoed across the league when new guys come to teams. They say, I'm here to help out the team, and they say all the pat answers. I respect that about Nick Foles. I'm coming in to win the job. Now, the topic at hand, Mitchell Trubisky, who I think has the ability and the wherewithal to be a highly successful quarterback in the league. But, as you know, you don't judge a fish on its ability to climb a tree. And in this situation, for far too long, Mitchell's skill set has been thrown to the wayside, and there's been an attempt to make him do things that maybe he feels uncomfortable doing. And I can tell you this, when the play breaks down and Mitchell doesn't have to think and he can just react, there's not a guy who I'd rather have the ball in his hand. I've seen plays break down. I've also seen plays go as planned when we have the schematic set to play to our skill set. When Mitchell Trubisky was drafted, the guards were me and Josh Sitton. We had youth at tackle, and we had youth and wisdom at center, and we pounded the ball. One thing that's been the chief complaint has been our lack of running game. And I'll tell you this, if you want to have success in the passing game, specifically the play-action game, you need to establish the run. dominate the line of scrimmage early. Because what does that do? It forces the defense to respect it. They pull their reinforcements from the back end. Next thing you know, you've got guys running naked down the field. You look at the San Francisco 49ers and their implementation of the play-action game as a byproduct of their running game, and there's not a more efficient way to go about it. Because if your game is pound you in the mouth early and gut you downfield late, when you go and you play on the road, like San Francisco did in New Orleans, you get an opportunity to do whatever the hell you want. And I don't know if you guys remember that game, but Kyle Shanahan said, pull out all the stops. We're throwing the damn ball this game. And they did. I think they scored 59 points or something. That can happen. We watched it with the Buccaneers when Mitch had that big explosive offensive game at Soldier Field. Trey Burton streaking down the right sideline naked. That is a byproduct of the running game. And I'll shut up now, but those are my thoughts.
That's the kind of analysis that will get you that network job, by the way, Kyle. Very good job. We're joined by former Chicago Bear Kyle Long here on The Score. So let's take it a level deeper now. What went wrong last year? Why couldn't the Bears do what you say they needed to do in order to have success with Trubisky at the quarterback position? And from afar, based on what you've seen them do this offseason, do you think there's enough there now to be able to rectify the offense heading into the 2020 season?
I absolutely believe that the offense is salvageable and it can be a formidable weapon against our opponents this year. But we need to have a paradigm shift, and I believe that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are doing that. I truly trust Ryan Pace. And you know me, Zach, I would tell you if I didn't. I think that he's going to do a good job bolstering the defense, which is already our stalwart. And we're going to do a great job of trying to figure out what makes the quarterback that wins our competition comfortable. As you know, it's a quarterback-driven league. But we do need to run the ball. And I think our defense will win a lot of fights for us. But when you're looking at a campaign, that's a long season, and you need to be able to have offensive firepower as well, and it all starts with the running game.
Kyle, tell me if I'm wrong in this characterization of what you have said in these couple of answers, and specifically on the quarterback.
Well, Mark, I got to cut you off because I'd be remiss here, and I hate to interrupt. But I would be
remiss because
you did ask me what went wrong last year. And as a man, I will tell you that I didn't do my part. I wasn't healthy enough to. Now, I tried to, but I couldn't make it happen. And at that point, that's when you know you got to take a walk, and I did. And I think that with the right guys, healthy guys, hardworking guys, which I know they all are. I know that locker room, and it's a good one. But you got to figure out what works, and that's running the dang ball, man, and stopping the run. And we're pretty good at stopping the run.
So if the Bears do run the ball, here's what I heard from you. You think Mitchell Trubisky can be the quarterback and can be a successful quarterback if they change the scheme, if they run the ball more, if they put him in a position to win. Is that right or wrong, what I just said?
You got to put yourself in an advantageous situation, and you are right. And I would say I know. I don't think. I know because I've seen Mitch have success as a young quarterback in one of the toughest divisions in football. I've seen it. You got to protect them. You got to protect your assets now. And if Nick Foles comes in and he's aces, and for whatever reason they decide to go that direction, it's the sky is not falling for Mitchell. I think he will have every opportunity to go somewhere and prove himself if Nick Foles ends up being the starter. If Mitchell Trubisky comes out with his hair on fire, as I would advise him to, and does what he's supposed to do, then you can say that Mitch will be the starter and Nick will be able to help him as a veteran quarterback. Now, he'll learn stuff from Nick. Nick's got a Super Bowl. But I can tell you this, Nick will learn some stuff from Mitch, too.
Kyle Long is with us on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. from your brother, Chris, who played with Nick Foles. I know you haven't had the opportunity to do that, but what do you know about Nick Foles that in Chicago we need to find out?
So when I was prepping to speak on the radio for the first time when Nick Foles was signed, I asked Chris, what should I know about Nick Foles? And he went, oh, this guy is a leader. He may not be the best quarterback in the league, but there's not many dudes you put on the list ahead of him as a teammate to go play for. And coming from Chris, that's quite an endorsement. He's played with some good ones. And, yeah, he said, I think your guy Mitchell will have a real opportunity to compete, but I definitely think that Nick Foles is a formidable opponent.
Hey, Kyle, you pointed the thumb at yourself a little bit from last year. You said that you didn't do your job, and that was the realization point that maybe it was time to hang him up or just to not be out there. The offensive line did pick up its fair share of criticism last year from everybody, from within, from the outside. Do you think the Bears have done enough in this offseason to make that offensive line better going into this year? And can a coaching change on the offensive line do anything to help out the cause?
I think Harry Hayston did a tremendous job. He is an old school guy. And the thing I respect about him is that he's not going to change his ways. Having Juan Castillo be signed, he's worked with Matt Nagy before. I've met with Juan Castillo prior to him becoming a Bear. So I don't want people to think that I'm talking to Juan Castillo now. I'm not. In my meetings and dealings with Juan Castillo and my understanding and knowledge of the offensive line room, new guys excluded, obviously, I will say that I think they're going to vibe well and we could see potentially some improvements there.
Kyle Long is with us on The Score. Kyle, one of the things that I found fascinating when you texted me and you told me that you were hanging it up, you're so young in terms of your athletic life. And I thought back to your brother, who for years played on some really bad Rams teams and wasn't able to enjoy the success of all the hard work from a team standpoint that he put in until the tail end of his career when he was able to go to New England, win a Super Bowl, and do the same thing in Philadelphia. Is there a part of you that after experiencing some of those Bears teams that you had to experience, is there a part of you that regrets not having the opportunity to finish up the same way your brother did, with an opportunity to play on a winning team, a Super Bowl contender, a Super Bowl champion?
Chris was very, very committed to his career for so long. Obviously, you mentioned him playing on a struggling team in St. Louis. They actually had a really good defense for a very long time, but unfortunately, they were always playing from behind. Chris never got to rush the passer. But you look at Chris's stats, you look at his impact as a defensive end, and the guy was dominant for a long time. And for whatever reason, I don't know why, my brother doesn't have a friggin' Pro Bowl, which is bull you know what. And early in my career, for whatever reason, with social media and, you know, it's 2013, there's a lot of, you know, it's a new age in media, and I think I took full advantage of social media and Twitter and Instagram, and I was able to gain a following not only on the field but off the field, and that helped me a great deal. I've slayed giants in this league. I've been beaten up by giants as well. I've seen it all. The only thing I haven't done is won a playoff game. But I can put my head on the pillow and rest at night. And one thing you have to understand about my older brother and I is we're different, but we're the same. I mean, we would be willing to do certain things for our teammates that I think a lot of guys wouldn't. And Chris is a good man, and God, he's a hard worker. He's a much harder worker than I am, I can tell you that. But I didn't get to taste that success of a Super Bowl, but what I got to taste was the struggle, the success, the highs, the lows. It's anything a man could ever ask for when he's becoming that. And the NFL was as intimidating a job as I could ever imagine having. Obviously, there are a few lines of work that are in another echelon from a danger standpoint. But I got to say, the experience I had in Chicago, the teammates I met, the respect I gained for my peers, and hopefully the respect that I gained from my peers, that's enough for me, man. My mind is quiet. I'm in a good place, and I'm looking forward to watching football because I still got buddies in the league, and I want to see them have success.
That's a great answer, man. I mean, it sounds like you are satisfied your decision to be doing what you are doing, and that is at the age of 31 living a retired lifestyle. And it feels like there's so many of us who look at you, Kyle Long, and say, this is what Kyle Long should be doing. That's what he should be doing. Kyle, let me ask you, what is your dream job?
Well, I'm looking at farms today. I'm going to look at about 400 acres in Central Virginia. I've never farmed anything. I don't know how to start a tractor. But when I got a helmet when I was 17, I didn't know how to play football. And I got to say, look at us now. One thing I want to do is play baseball again, not necessarily for the White Sox or in the MLB, but if you grew up playing baseball and you love it, you always want to find a way back. For me, it's like the game of golf. You know, there's nothing better than being out there on the freshly cut grass with your buddies, hearing the slap of the leather and the crack of the bat. I mean, there's nothing that is more of a tonic for me and a recentering than being at a baseball field. And I think I can still throw it and have fun, you know, go drink a couple beers with my buddies, try to hit some home runs, you know?
Man, I've got so many questions just based on that answer alone. Kyle, we have to take a quick break here. When we come back, I have some more stuff with you, including I want to get to Dan Pompey's just incredible piece in The Athletic. A freaking warrior at 30, Kyle Long carries the scars of his Bears career. There's so much to break down with you, and you're worth more than just one segment. Can you stick around, and we'll continue this on the other side?
I'm going to run into this country store, get some fried chicken, and I'll be ready to talk to you boys shortly.
All right. That'll work. Kyle Long, segment number two, upcoming.
So good.
Mark Crotty is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Well, I'm here in the freezing cold getting free chicken sandwiches because the food tastes great. I mean, it's chicken. It's fried chicken. I like fried chicken.
Zach Zaidman, Mark Brody with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Kyle Long is our guest. Before we took the commercial break, Kyle, you mentioned that you were going to use the break to get yourself some fried chicken. That explains the lead-in to this segment. But you also, and this raised some eyebrows, and I don't know if it happened because you've been watching The Last Dance, and Michael Jordan talked about his baseball career during his first retirement, and you know Jerry Reinsdorf had mentioned that if there isn't a work stoppage, perhaps Michael sticks with baseball. Eventually, he probably would have found a way to make it to the major leagues, and then the Bulls dynasty, at least the second half of it, would not have materialized. You were a highly skilled baseball pitcher before you became a football player. Do you miss it? Do you regret giving up on baseball? And are you serious when you're talking about playing baseball?
Yes, I regret it every day. No, in the sense that I don't regret it. I always wonder in that parallel universe where I'd be. I'm serious. I miss it and I want to play it. Hey, I'm 31. I may not be able to be blocking Geno Atkins, but, you know, get in the box, sucker. Try me.
So what made you choose football over baseball back in the day?
How many segments you got?
Hey, man, we're here till 4.
I ran from my bloodlines as a youth. I thought it was a curse to have my last name because, for the most part, all I got was grief for it. And so I said, I'm going to go play baseball and be my own man, which is a good plan, but I didn't really have the foresight to where, you know, if baseball didn't work out, what's going to happen? Luckily, I never got there. I got in trouble. I had a DUI when I was 19 in my hometown over Christmas break. And I decided, and my family decided, that I had to figure some stuff out, and I wasn't really mature enough to be on the road like that. So I moved to California. I entered into a junior college. I said, I want to get somewhere where I don't know anybody. I want them not to know me. I'm just Kyle. So I went to junior college, and I just wanted to go to school, and I wanted to work, and I wanted to skateboard, and I wanted to see things I'd never seen before, and I did that. And when I was working at Jack Surfboards, I met a guy who happened to be a football coach. And he said, son, what the hell are you doing here? And I said, I build skateboards, bro. That's why you're here, right? He said, well, I coach at Saddleback College. We're junior college. And in my mind, junior college was always, like, scoffed at on the East Coast. That's where you went if you got in trouble. So come to find out, Saddleback College is like Stanford in Orange County. I mean, it's just a beautiful campus. Great athletic program, and Mark McElroy is a faith-based surf coach, life coach, and football coach. And when I went up there, I felt at home for the first time in a long time. And my parents came out to visit. They loved it. And I signed up to play football. He said, what do you want to do? I said, I want to chase a quarterback. And he said, great, you'll play D end. So I played the end, and, of course, I went inside when I was supposed to go outside. I went outside when I was supposed to – I didn't do my assignment because I was selfish, and I really just wanted to chase the quarterback. That's what I told him. Well, I ended up getting benched. I was a backup on my junior college team.
Wow.
And I was crushed. I said, well, football's not for me. I'm not good enough. I'm not tough enough. I'm clearly not smart enough, and I'm you know, not a good teammate. So what I did was I went out and – they had baseball tryouts that spring, so I went out there, and I think the first 10, like, pitches I had seen in batting practice in the last, you know, 5-6 years, I frozen roped them against the wall. Then we went out there, and we did a bullpen, and I swear to God, I was sitting 94, 95, and I hadn't thrown in years. The team was ecstatic, you know, we got a big lefty, oh, yeah. Well, tryouts were over, I made the team, so I go to get my jersey, and the coach calls me in. He said, Kyle, you had one of the greatest tryouts I've ever seen, but you didn't make grades. So I didn't get a hat, and I didn't play baseball. And I said, Kyle, told myself, I said, Kyle, you got to figure your life out here. Because if sports is going to be your get out of jail free card, you better take it seriously. And academics has to come first, and staying out of trouble has to come first, and being a good person. I went back to Mark McElroy, and he knew the situation. He was chuckling, the football coach. He said, you're going to play offensive tackle. I talked to the D coordinator. Mark McElroy was the offensive coordinator. Colt Brennan was a product of his. That's the kind of offense, that high-flying offense. I played left tackle, and it was like peeling bananas. I never left the field and didn't break a sweat. And Chip Kelly and the Oregon Ducks came down to visit once, and they were there before practice, and I knew they were coming. So I got out there early, and I was running routes and showing off my athleticism. And I went to turn around, and they were gone. I thought I messed it up because I was messing around, showing off. So later that week, I took a drive up to USC on my own accord. And I said, look, I just need a meeting with Lane Kiffin. So I went in there with a teammate of mine, Menelik Watson from Saddleback, who played in the league. He was from the UK. My size, black guy, former boxer, tough dude, great friend of mine to this day. So we go to Lane Kiffin's office. Two NFL tackles walk into Lane Kiffin's office and say, can you get us into school here? We'll play for free. We just need a locker and a helmet. And he said, we don't have any room for junior college offensive lines, offensive linemen. So I got on the phone with Mark McElroy. I said, what's the deal with Oregon? I know they play USC. And he said, well, Chip Kelly left early last week from practice. I said, why was that? He said he saw all he needed to see when you walked out of the locker room. And we got Chip Kelly back down. He said, you going to go to class? I said, yes, sir. Said, you going to be a good teammate? Yes, sir. You going to work hard? Yes, sir. You going to stay out of trouble? You know, maybe. And he offered me a scholarship. And my first start was November 3rd against USC. And we broke the Pac-12 record for rushing. And we smoked the Trojans.
Nice.
And I was going against Leonard Williams. And I was going against that safety, T.J. McDonald. They had a good team, but we just had it. And then, the rest kind of happened. So I was just going on a tangent there. But there's how.
Former Bear Kyle Long with us on The Score. I want to get back to the baseball thing. So have you recently thrown in front of a gun? And
I have not, but I have thrown, and it works.
All right, so that being said, when you say baseball, are you talking professionally? Or are you talking about trying to work your way?
Well, shoot, I don't know, man. I know there's a men's league around here.
Are you throwing 94, 95 still? Let's get down to it.
I don't know, bro. You tell me. You want to get in the box, Mark?
Absolutely. I'm a righty, man. Righties hit lefties, right? So I think I could probably
tell you if I can hit the strike zone, so I might be hitting you.
I think I could ground out the second against you.
Okay. Put your money where your mouth is, bud.
All right, let's get it on, man.
I love, but people that don't know me, Mark, and Zach think that I'm just being a jerk on the phone. But for years, this is the dynamic we have with the media, and I'm lucky enough to have good folks like Zach and Mark be a part of, my career. And obviously, we have a good time. So this is all in good fun, people, all right?
Yes, I think people know. Kyle Long is with us. Hey, I wanted to get to something that you kind of talked about the trajectory, and it's a great story of how you got into football. And just listening to you talk, it seemed as though before all the injuries started to hit that, and I don't know if I'm phrasing this right, but it seemed as though football came easy to you once you started to work on football. And I go back to early on in your career with the Bears. You were going up against Ndamukong Suh, and he dominated you once, and that was it, that first game. After that,
He beat me one play, Zach. Come on, we've talked about this, Zach.
Yes, but then
blame Jay because he rolled out of the pocket.
That's true. But you learned from that, and you weren't the most. I think it's fair to say you weren't the most technique sound offensive guard in the National Football League. But
I might have been the least technically sound.
Right. Well, I had a Pro Bowl player text me after watching you and say, I don't know how he gets away with it, but the guy is just such a tremendously physically gifted player that he dominates. When the injury started to hit, that forced more of the technique to be used. And that's where when football started to become hard from that standpoint. And you mentioned how your brother worked far more than you ever did. Is that a regret that you didn't work like him, because maybe you could have overcome some of that?
Well, like I said, we're different. And like I also said, I don't have any regret. One thing I do know and have now is perspective and respect for my older brother. Because by God, if there's somebody who's going to blaze a trail for you, it's Chris Long. And, and before him, it was old Flat Top. And I can help out. My way of giving back is when I have kids, I can tell them these cautionary tales. I can show them the film, and I can say, this is what it looks like when you're on top of the world. And then I can show them the film and say, this is what it looks like when you don't take care of yourself.
Hey, Kyle, I want to take a slight turn here, but you relayed a story recently to Dan Pompey, a really excellent article by him, some very insightful stuff from you as well. But you mentioned, and this is totally selfish on my part, but you mentioned using a song by the artist Sia as inspiration when you were sick in 2013, you had the flu or whatever. The Sia song is Chandelier, which is, and this is the selfish part, it's a song that I have used or come across for inspiration when I am on the treadmill. It's always good for another 12 minutes when I put that song on. Do you still put that song in your ears today, and how important was it to you at that time?
I don't know if specifically the song is as important to me over the course of time, but I will say that music, as you know, is an incredible thing, and that's why it's been around for so long and has so many genres, because people enjoy it. But I remember sitting at the back left of that bus and thinking to myself, even if the sky is falling at Lambeau tonight, I'm going to swing from the effing chandeliers.
It's true. I think one of the things that stood out to me watching you firsthand and the way Dan Pompey was able to relay it in The Athletic this week, a freaking warrior at 30, Kyle Long carries the scars of his Bears career. 16 surgeries in 7 NFL seasons. And I go back to, I think a season that dramatically altered your life was the 2016 preseason. The Bears had a joint practice with the Patriots in New England prior to playing a preseason game, and you got hurt significantly in practice, and it cost you. Now you found a way to try and overcome and play through, and you were rewarded for it with a big contract. But when you look back, would you have been better off shutting it down in 2016, where you'd still have
there'd
an opportunity
to play
there?
There'd be a different narrative about me had that happened. I'm perfectly comfortable in my own skin, and I know the guys that I was laying my body out there for appreciate it as well. Jordan Howard doesn't have his season that year if I don't play. That's a dear friend of mine. He's been taken care of by the NFL. Now, I'm not saying Jordan Howard doesn't stand on his own without the help of his O-line, because that's ludicrous. But I don't want to miss that stuff. I don't. Also, I had a hitting streak going. You don't stop those.
A hitting streak? What does that mean?
Pro Bowls.
Ah, 3 of them, yeah.
And I just made an All-Pro. I was going for the first level All-Pro. That's what I wanted, which I never had.
How much that,
which means you're one of the two best human beings at what you do on the planet. I was a second team All-Pro, so you double that number. But I'm all right with that.
I'm thinking about that now. You and the 3 Pro Bowls, coming from where you came from a guy who, you know, was, you know, second string on his junior college football team. We all know that there was some surprise when you were drafted, where you were drafted with the Bears in 2013. How much did it mean to you to then be a Pro Bowler 3 times in your life, considering everything that you've been through?
The Pro Bowl stuff is a popularity contest, as I alluded to earlier, because my older brother never made one. But I got to say, my brother was a better football player than me. And people have that twisted. My older brother was as solid a football player as there is in the NFL. You ask anybody on his team, you ask anybody that tried to block him for years. But he didn't get the credit for it. And that leaves a bad taste in my mouth. But we got each other. He's got his kids. We got a great family. There's not a lot that we regret doing. And we owe it all to the great game of football. And we're aware of that. Now, growing up in our house, there's 8 Pro Bowl jerseys on the wall, which a lot of them coincide with all pros, and there's 75 on. That's my dad. And it was all one jersey. And that meant something to me. So I knew coming in, 3 straight wasn't going to get me nowhere but down the driveway. I had my work cut out for me, and when I realized I couldn't chase that dragon, I just did my best to be the best Kyle Long I could, be a good teammate, be a good man, and that's all you can ask for.
All right, so anybody, Kyle, that's been following you on social media, among the different pursuits that we've seen since you announced your retirement, you've lost a lot of weight, gotten in great shape, golfing a lot. You're a big gearhead now. You're a big NASCAR guy, huge gamer. How do you put together all these different things that you're interested in and make it all work in retirement for you? What would you like to do with all the stuff that you're interested in going forward?
Unfortunately, time is the only thing we really have, and we don't have much of it. Now, I do have a lot of hobbies. I got to figure out which ones are going to be able to work for me, which ones I truly do enjoy, and which ones can cohabitate with one another. There's a lot of things I'll probably have to not lose interest in, but, you know, take that out of the schedule. I'm ready to live a life. I'm ready to start my life. You know, I can't think of the last time I had real free time. I wasn't on an operating table or I wasn't in a training room. And I'm 265. I got 6 abs. I'm tan. I'm not sore. I feel pretty good, boys.
You don't have any coaching aspirations, do you?
Hell no.
Why not?
You know their schedules, man. When the players leave at 5:30, 6 o'clock, the coaches are there till 11.
Ugh.
Then they're in at 6:30. Then they're being scrutinized. And when you're a coach, you can't get on the field and control anything. And I'm a control freak.
All right. We'll leave you with this because I don't think you really had an opportunity to, and I heard you do it after Pompey wrote the article. You went back and you said, I have to make sure I thank my teammates. Who are the people that are responsible at the NFL level for helping you become the guy that you became with the Bears?
Jermon Bushrod, Matt Slauson, Roberto Garza, Jordan Mills, Bobby Massey, my mom and dad, obviously, but at the NFL level, it's mostly guys I played with. Matt Forte, Charles Leno Jr., Cody Whitehair, all my teammates, every single one of my teammates. I went out of my way to get to know these guys, and I was a curmudgeon. I was grumpy some days. You never know when I was going to be a volatile SOB, but you know one thing was I cared about my guys. And I know now, looking back and having some perspective, that they cared a great deal about me, and they were very, very patient with me and very kind. And for that, I appreciate it. And they took a young boy with some physical talents, and specifically that first group of O-linemen, the veterans that I named, specifically those guys, they turned me into a man.
Hey, Kyle. Thank you so much. Can't thank you enough for the time that you shared with us. I hope you get to enjoy the rest of that chicken. I hope it's still warm.
Oh, it is. And you guys, when that ballpark opens up in Wrigleyville, I'll see you guys down there.
It's on, dude. It's on.
See you, boys.
See ya. Kyle Long, former Bear offensive lineman.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.